Before we begin this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Without your support, this podcast would not be alive for the last 5 years. So thank y'all so freaking much. I want to specifically thank all the members in our BBF, BFFs tier, and that includes Nini, Elizabeth O, Christian G, Evelyn P, and Cassandra G. I want to give specific, gigantic thanks to Evelyn P and Cassandra G. Y'all have been really riding with us to the max since the start, so thank y'all. If you want to support this podcast, continued production, hope to see it another 5 years, please support us on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. You can find the link in the description, and you know, for your contribution, you will get different little rewards like early episodes that are also extended, an archive to all of our episodes, all of our live streams, and honestly, archive of this first season, because we're gonna slowly be archiving the episodes for the first season, so they'll only be available to patrons. So if you want to get on that, feel free to support us anywhere from $1 to $30. There's no little or too much, TBH. We appreciate all the support we can get. All right, much love, and let's start the episode.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live!
Fuck it!
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
10, 5, 4, 3.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Fams. This is a podcast where we dismantle shit while talking shit. This is one of your hosts, Ruben, coming all the way to you from Portland, Oregon.
And this is your other host, Cassandra, coming to you from El Paso, Texas. 915, yeah. Chico baby. Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to our 5 El Paso listeners.
Our devoted 5 El Paso listeners.
Yeah. So how you been?
Good, I guess. I mean, I can't remember. Like, we always say this. I can't remember the last time we recorded.
It's been months. It's been like since like, March.
It feels like it's been years, honestly. Yeah. But it's well, it's interesting answering that question because I actually just saw you like 3 weeks ago. Like, yeah. So it feels like usually when you ask me that, you know, it's like, I haven't seen you, we haven't talked, but I actually just saw you. So yeah, that was fun.
You happened to be in Portland the weekend of my graduation, a week after your own graduation.
Yeah, so it's perfect.
I wish they gave you a cap and gown so we can do we could have done the whole grad pics together. We could have been educated Latinas together.
Mm-hmm. We can still do that.
Yeah.
I mean, so I graduated, but right now I am I'm also supposed to be studying for my license exam. So for me, it's like, I graduated my program, but I feel like I want to pass the license exam first and then take my own little grad photos. So to me, it's like, like fun, yay, graduated, but I'm also like, that's not the last step for me.
Yeah.
So hopefully that happens soon.
I'm on the same boat, actually, because like I graduated, like I finished all my classwork, but I still need to defend my thesis. So I still need to go in front of like a small audience and be like, this is what my story is, and this is, and answer questions and critique. So I guess we're both not completely at the finish line, but we like pretty much finished the marathon already. You know what I mean?
Yes. Shout out to our mothers for that. Mine, yeah. Thanks, Mom, for crossing the border.
Oh my God, stop.
What?
What's
your cross so I can, I did not walk, but.
You didn't walk the stage?
You walked so that I can not walk. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
I walked so that Cassandra could not walk.
Yes, exactly. You walked for me on that stage when I saw you. Thank you.
I was the representation that you wanted to see in the world.
Yes. So I guess, like, for everyone that's like, where the fuck have these bitches been? Yeah, that's what we've been doing.
We've been getting our education on.
Yeah. So y'all will take us more seriously, you know? Because before y'all, like, what were one of the reviews that we always read up that it was like, like, that we, like, don't have sources. Like, we just make shit up.
That we sound uneducated. That we sound like Valley Girls.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. So now we are, hopefully people will take us seriously now. Even though, like, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't, like, in academia necessarily, but it's still, you know, it still counts.
Is an education.
Yeah, that is true.
We're still going to sound like Valley Girls, but now we both got degrees, so you just can shut up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my God. Can't believe I have a master's degree. I'm a master.
Wow. Wild.
I know. But yeah, that's why we've been busy, and the content rollout has been a lot slower in these last 2 years because we've both been hustling. Yeah, but with that said, like, this also marks, this summer marks, like, the 5th year anniversary of our podcast, like, existing in the world. And of us meeting in real life, because you and I knew each other since, like, 2016. Mm-hmm. Like that, like on the internet, but we didn't actually meet in real life until we both had a gig in Portland. Mm-hmm. And we recorded an episode for your podcast, 1-800 Cry, where you actually passed out halfway recording it. And we had to re-record it.
Like, I passed out? Is that what you said?
Yes, you fell asleep.
Yes, in Portland.
Yes.
Yes.
It's because you don't poop enough, and so you're always having low energy.
Okay, yes, so that happened. Yeah, so it was also, like, being able to go to your graduation in Portland, where we met 5 years later. So it's, like, iconic.
Yeah,
and we didn't go to our listeners and that were there for that moment, they shared it with us, so thank you.
Yeah, thank y'all for being there. I wish I remembered everybody's names. Irina, Christina, Melly, and then another person. Thank y'all for being there.
There's, like, two other people.
Yeah. The only bad thing is that we didn't go to a strip club while you were here.
I know, and I wanted to so bad. Yeah. Next time.
We did go to 2 karaoke bars, so, like...
Yeah. But we only karaoke'd at one.
Yeah, because it was so packed.
Yeah, the one was so packed. They were like, not these brown people.
Yeah.
Ruining the mood.
But I'm glad you got to experience the whiteness of Portland. It is rough out here.
Oh, gosh.
That said, I'm going to stay here a little longer and see what there is in the city for me. Yeah.
Yeah, so our 5th year anniversary. So I can't believe it's been 5 years, but it's also like... I don't know, being able to maintain a podcast from two different states. And I know it's not like we put our content as much as we'd like, because this is not, you know, I think there's a lot of, like, podcasters, like, that's their job, you know, like, they are podcasters. Or I don't know, they live in the same city, or it's just easier to record. And, like, yeah, like, with us, it's hard, our schedules meeting up and figuring this shit out via Skype, via Zoom, via whatever, and on top of obviously everything that we have going on. So
yeah,
like, I wish that we had more time to put out content and to put these cool graphics on Instagram and just devote all this time, but it's, like, time consuming, and it's, like,
and
it's
to have guests too,
yeah, and have more guests, like, just, you know, just other things in general. But I feel that one thing I've always, I guess, have told myself is quality versus quantity. And that's not to toot our own horn or anything. Let's do that. But I know that, you know, I don't know, at least, like, when we do record, I know it's, like, we try to have conversations that are important, or at least to us, some dialogues or whatever, and we're not just like, I don't know, like putting out random shit all the time just to fill the just to say that we did, I guess. And I don't know. Yeah.
No, I feel you, because I do feel like sometimes it's just like, I think when podcasts have too many guests, it's because like the hosts don't know what to talk about. And I actually in the podcast that I do listen to, I often like dislike when they have guests, actually. Like, I listened to the Bald and the Beautiful, Las Culturistas, and a couple of other podcasts that are a little too close to home, so I'm not going to name them. Because I know y'all snitches are going to go run out to tell them, like, they said they don't like when you bring guests around. But yeah, I usually like when it's just like the two or three hosts just talking to each other. Because they have like a rapport. Like, you know, they're quick with each other, whereas when they have guests, like sometimes things are a little slower. It doesn't mean that that guests are not welcomed here. Of course you are. It's just, it takes extra steps to make it happen, usually.
Yeah. Now that you bring it up, yeah, for sure. Like, there's some podcasts that I would listen to too. And then like, I guess I never made that connection of like, there was a lot, like every episode was just a guest, like mostly guests. Like maybe they would talk like for 5 minutes prior to the guests, and I would be like, I don't know, I just never thought, like, I was just like, okay, like, what? Like, I feel like I'm just, like, you're, I don't know, like, if your podcast is just having guests, say that. Because, like, I don't really feel like a connection to you, or I don't know what you think, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or, like, you know, and, like, that's fine if that's your podcast, but, like, yeah, it does, now that you say that, it kind of does feel like maybe it's, yeah, to, like, well, we don't have anything to talk about, let's bring someone on. And I think, yeah, obviously, like, with us, like, we would love to have guests, because when we talk about things, we want to have people that experience, like, that are from that community, or like that's their work that they do, right? And be able to provide like space for those voices. So like, yeah, I think that's important. But like, could you imagine if we had a guest on like every single time, and like, oh, that God. I don't know, that'd be kind of weird, right? But anyway, nonetheless, since this marks the end, not the end, don't freak out, not the end of Better Brown Femmes, but like, I would say an important, I don't know, like, we don't have seasons, but we're definitely seeing this as like a season finale, if there was one.
Yeah.
Because I know some podcasts are like on season fucking 15 and shit, and we're like, yeah, but definitely like it end, like, we definitely want to start anew, and that's not like, I don't know, a bad thing. It's just, I think that we, I don't know, like, yeah, we've learned so much within the last 5 years on podcasting itself, I would say, and how, I don't know, how it works. And obviously, like, you all know, Ruben is the one who edits our episode. Again, this isn't our job. We don't have someone that does that for us. We kind of DIY'd this shit and learned along the way. From everything, from like the merch that we had, like literally everything we do. And so I feel like we're taking that with us, like how to, and what people like and what works best and what people engage with. You know, that's why we definitely do like the reviews that you all leave, or comments, or on Twitter, you know, like your feedback on anything. Like, we appreciate you all sharing our episodes and listening, but we also appreciate feedback. As well, because we're not saying like, oh, you know, our episodes are perfect. Sometimes we feel like they're too long, and then sometimes we feel like, I don't know, we were just rambling on, or etc. Right? So we're definitely taking all that with us into the new chapter of Bitter Brown Femmes, as well as our politics, ourselves, and not just politics, because I feel like 5 years is like, yeah, our politics have grown, but also like me as a person and where we are in life, right? And all of that affects this podcast too, right? Even if I'm not necessarily talking about my personal life, but I kind of am, because I have shared a lot of like vulnerable and personal things about my life. So it definitely like affects that as well. So, yeah. So I feel like we're taking all that with us into this new chapter.
Yeah, that was very well put. So like, making this episode our season finale, just as the title might have suggested. And it's, you know, we want to reboot. We want to, like, kind of reformat a little bit. And also, like, you know, it might seem ridiculous that, like, holy shit, 5 years for 60 episodes in one season. But, like, you know, that's just how it shaped out. I think that in a perfect world, we wanted to do a lot more, but it's just not how the cookie crumbled. And I don't really have any qualms about the way it shaped. Obviously, like, back when we started in 2017, there was, like, five of us, like, independent Latinx podcasts. You know, nowadays, you want to, there's a couple of, like, Latinx podcasts that want to take credit for, like, the Latinx wave. But, like, back in the day, it was, like, Locatora, like, us, maybe Alsan doing it, and then the NPR run podcasts, right? Like, the Latino Rebel podcast, the Oye USA, Latino USA, and then this other NPR Latinx podcast that I can't remember at the moment. But, like, it was either, like, funded NPR podcasts or, like, us, like, fucking figuring this out in our living room. Oh, of course, there's, fuck, I forgot their names. Latinos Who Brunch, of course, the granddaddies of Latinx podcasts as well, RIP, and Radio Menea. But just to name a few of us who were just, like, literally podcasting from our fucking living rooms. And, like, you can hear, like, the, for example, both of our mothers had, like, birds at some point. You can hear the birds chirping in our fucking audio.
The dogs barking. You can hear my child sometimes. You can hear Ruben breathing.
Oh, God, my asthma. Which has not gotten better, and I do not promise that that's going to be absent at all in the future. You know what I just found out? My friend finally told me that I just did it. My friend finally told me that, like, I do this thing where I take a deep breath between, like, sentences sometimes. And I guess I never realized it. Yeah. And they were like, I thought that you had long COVID, but then I remembered the that you just had asthma all your life. Yeah. So that was wonderful to learn. But yeah, so we just want to, like, have a fresh start and, like, yeah, kind of reintroduce the podcast in a way that, like, aligns with our current politics, that aligns with our current skill set, and, like, our vision, right, of how we want to engage politics, right? Because I feel like, for a moment, I mean, I'm still really angry at the world, I'm not gonna bullshit, but I feel like I've kind of switched from, like, a little bit of a, well, I don't want to say switch, but I think I've been more active in the way that I'm like, okay, shit sucks, what am I going to do about it, right? Yeah, which was also part of the reason why I haven't really been blogging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also feel, I mean, when did we start the podcast? 2017? So it's like, that was, like, obviously when Trump got elected, like, a year after. I think I speak for everyone in the U.S., the fucking U.S., or maybe even the world, like, within the last 5 years, so much has happened alone that, like, why wouldn't it affect our politics or our view on things and our personal lives? Like, everyone has been affected within everything that's been going on within the last 5 years, either whether, like, the pandemic, you know what I mean? Just fucking so-called inflation. Like, fucking everything that's happened. Like, everyone's been affected in one way or another, sadly. So I definitely, like, it's strange to think, like, we've kind of, like, covered these last 5 years on our podcast. Like, I can definitely, like, when Luca needs a history lesson, you know, just be like, take a seat, sweetie.
I mean, no bullshit. For real.
Yeah. So, like, of course, like, why wouldn't we, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's always like, let her, what's that tweet or quote? Like, let it this radicalize you or whatever, which I'm tired of seeing. And that's no shade.
Oh my God.
To her, because I love her. No. I just feel like people say that, but they don't really mean it, or like it's just something to share. I could be wrong, but what I'm trying to say is just like, yeah, like, everyone's been affected, like, I'm I've definitely, I don't really want to use the word I've become more radical. I feel like I've become, I don't know the word for it, but I've definitely become something, whether that's like angrier, like more, not less angry, but maybe in a different way that's not so reactionary, which reactionary happens sometimes, you know, shit happens and you react. And I don't know, also like I'm older. Like how old was I in 2017? Like in my late 20s. I'm 33 now. I've gone through my fucking Saturn return. It fucked me up along with the state of the world. So obviously like we just talked, like we just graduated. This is a new chapter of my life too. I also feel, you know, I'm at a different place, so everything kind of aligns with like new chapters, you know.
Yeah. I also went through my Saturn return, but I'm only 30.
Bitch, get out.
The last 2 years did not count. Nobody.
Oh yeah, that is true. That is true. Did not count. We are 30.
I just turned 30, bitch. But yeah,
very true.
So not only is like the first season of this podcast like a historical document, literally, but also like a documentation of our Saturn returns, TBH.
Yeah, like, the world is like depressed and like.
TBH.
Oh my god.
But like I ain't mad at her. Like I ain't mad at Ruben, who was, you know, being all sorts of sad here. We're going through changes. Like the world is going through changes. Like I'm still changing. I'm still growing. Mm-hmm. You know, my body's still maturing.
Exactly. No, yeah, I definitely feel that. I don't feel like I'm like 30 and I'm old and I'm like, this is like a new, I've always wanted to be 30. I've always said that. I've always wanted to be 30. Unfortunately, when I turned 30, I think that was when the pandemic happened. I don't know. And then I was like, wow, like I've been waiting like 10 years to be 30 and this shit happens. But now obviously like the pandemic is still ongoing. Okay. All this shit is still happening. It's not like everything's over. Everything's fine. But I'm talking about like in my person, like as a person, I definitely feel like, I love being 30 and I love where it's taken me. Like, yeah. Aside from all the bullshit, like, I feel like, yeah, like I know who I am or more sure of who I am or what I want. And I don't, you know, everyone's always like, oh, you're scared to be 30. And I'm just like, no. And I can't wait to be 40. Cause even then I'll be even more like, you know, no time for people's bullshit, I guess. And just like, I don't know, just in another space in your life where you don't really care what people are saying or thinking or doing. And you're kind of just, I don't know. You know?
I'm kind of scared to be 40 because my body has changed a lot. TBH, like my digestive system kind of like.
Oh, well, yeah. My back's always like.
Oh, literally.
Or you're always like tired at like 9 o'clock.
Oh, absolutely. And then like if you get hungover, it takes 2 days to recover.
Like I've never had hangovers, and like within the last like 2 months I've been like, I've had 2 hangovers. I'm like, kill me please. Like
so, like aging is definitely happening. I've become more aware of like, I don't know, there's this weird thing that's happening where I don't know, I don't know, I always felt, anyway, long story short, I want a facelift.
Good for you.
Aging is happening and I'm trying to not be ageist against myself, but it happens sometimes.
It does. You know? I think that happens to everybody.
Does it? I think there's people who are just like, there's those hippies who are like, embrace being old and like wrinkled and your body. Oh my god, there's this one lady here who's like hella old and like leads like the naked bike rides around Portland. And she's just all about her saggy titties, and I'm like, you work like that, you know. go you. That's just not me. It's not who I am.
I feel that.
You feel the saggy titty gang?
I wow. Are you saying my boobies are saggy?
I didn't. I asked. I mean, that was a question.
It's okay if you have saggy boobs.
Yeah, saggy boobs.
I feel like mine are too small to sag. They're just Anyway, that's irrelevant. Let's not talk about my boobs on here.
But let's talk about these last 5 years, though. Like, we already talked about how our bodies have changed, but how has your mind changed? How have you grown? How have you regressed? Even
that's a very broad question. I don't know. I feel like when we started, I definitely feel like I'm like, fuck electoral politics forever. Whereas I feel like I kind of have never been that invested in them, but I was in that like, well, like I think in 2016 I voted third party, but I still voted and I still voted especially in local elections, and that's always been my thing, like necessarily, you know, state or but you know, kind of meh, but I was very like, well, at least local is important to me. And I think within these last, especially within this last election, I'm just like, I'm just kind of done with it. I don't even care. Kind of been focusing on other things, just like what I can do for my community, how I can make change with, again, within my circle of friends, family sometimes, but we talk a lot about family. It's like an ongoing fucking thing. But then like friends, but then even with friends, I feel like my friends are like on the same page as me. I don't really have like new friends that I'm making, but how, you know, me and my friends, how then do we, I don't know, just how do we show up for community, especially outside of electoral politics? Because, and I'm also like, you know, if you want to vote, that's, I'm not even gonna like sit here and be like, oh, why do you vote? And like spend all this energy doing that when instead, like, if you want to vote, vote. But also like, I'm letting you know, like, vote and okay, let's do something else. And I think when people start engaging with other things outside of voting, that's when they start, you know, kind of seeing like what else is out there aside from fucking voting. So I you know, I'm not going to waste my breath and go online and bash people who vote like they do non-voters because it doesn't do anything at the end. I would rather like spend my energy trying to connect with people, whether they vote or not, and kind of go from there and show them that's not all that there is. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to save you. If you want to keep voting, that's on you, whatever. But there is things that you can do and ways that you can show up outside of voting. And I feel like, especially within these last 5 years, that's like a big thing that has changed for me. Again, it wasn't like this big jump, but I definitely do feel like I'm done. I'm fucking done voting or talking about voting. Like I said, I'm not going to go out and bash people for it. Like, I'm just kind of, I'm done. Like, I'm just, I don't even care. I don't really care about it. I think I've... I don't know. Yeah, that's, I feel like that's like the main thing. I don't know. There's just like so much that we've covered within these last, because again, so much shit has happened. We've talked about like anti-blackness within the Latinx community. We've talked about femicides in Mexico. We've talked about abortion, which is still like an ongoing fucking thing that we're not going to talk about right now, but we will talk about it. I've talked about like my motherhood. I've talked about like children. I've talked about like so many things, and I feel like those weaves are still going to change, even, you know. They're still like, I'm still learning new things. I'm still figuring out what works, and it's not like an end-all be-all, you know. I think like some of my views, and I've always said this, obviously, within, you know, when I had Chicanisma, like they've always evolved. And I know that some people still probably see me as like this person who had really shitty politics because I did or said things and did things. And that's fine. But I feel like I've grown and I'm still growing. So, yeah, I see that. I don't know. That is a good thing, obviously.
I think that this podcast and like engaging and putting my views out there and, you know, constantly having to think and rethink about what my opinions are about like politics and the world has honestly helped me be kinder to myself. I thought that, you know, at 2017, I was only
1 year removed from being like the kind of activist, quote unquote activist, who like organizer who like was always like on the go, always like doing some shit, like always like the community always needed my help or something, right, in the Sacramento area, Davis area. And I felt like I honestly had kind of like a, what's it called, like a savior complex, honestly, for my community. And it wasn't until like I hit a wall after I left Davis and I went to the Bay, and honestly starting this podcast and like kind of hearing myself kind of like, I don't know, sound like they knew better when they didn't always, right? I think that helped me like re-engage, like, holy shit, like you need to like remove your, like take a step back and like look at like what you want the impact of your actions to be, how you want to show up in a way that's sustainable. Because I honestly, like, I don't think what I was doing at the time was like sustainable, because I hit a wall, and I had to like refigure out how to like engage organizing, how to engage being politically active. And this podcast helped me feel like I could take that step back and rethink my actions, my positions, how I showed up. Because at times doing this podcast felt like showing up to the best of my capacities, right? And so this podcast showed me like our capacities are gonna like ebb and flow, they're gonna go up and down. What we're capable of doing is always gonna be shifting, right, according to our age, our capacity, our physical or mental abilities, emotional abilities, you know, our according to our jobs, our responsibilities, whether they be familial or romantic or whatever. Like, it really helped me gauge that. Whereas before I was like, it doesn't matter what the fuck is going on, like you show up, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's just not the reality of everybody's life, right? So it helped me understand how to be kinder to myself and how to give myself space to recharge. I think from a like a critical framework, you know, perspective, I think that this podcast helped me honestly get a little more, have a bit more of a radical thinking. I think at this point, if our mindset is still primarily on the electoral system, then we have, then whoever still holds tight to the electoral system hasn't been paying attention these last decade or so, and it's been willfully so. It hasn't been accidental, right? Because shit keeps hitting us in the face like that, like you have to be really, really, really going out of your way to avoid, right? You have to be really going out of your way to notice that, to not notice that, like, you know, Biden has done shit for like, you know, just recently the Supreme Court granted Biden's like, you know, plea to like allow folks to not have to wait in Mexico for approval. But like that shit that Biden could have done immediately, right? If he would have just signed executive orders the way Trump did, but he didn't, because he wanted to play ball with Republicans who didn't give a shit about him, right? So, you know, it takes a lot of negligence and complacency for people to not notice shit like that, like not notice shit like when Kamala Harris says she, like, tries to avoid questions about like Roe v. Wade and how she's done nothing, and her whole like her whole party has done nothing in her 2 years as a vice president, right? It takes folks to be willfully ignorant to realize, to not notice that like trans rights are being rolled back everywhere, that, you know, women's rights are constantly under attack, right? That folks of all marginalized genders keep having to fight for bare crumbs, right? And for LGBT folks who are also being set back, right? We have shit in Florida, you know, implementing the don't say gay shit, law, basically, where teachers can't talk about, you know, anything that might be perceived as like talking about sexual identity in class, right? Which has led to basically Proud Boys like showing up to drag queen readings, right? And different attacks on the LGBT community. Like, you have to be really, really disconnected, and you have, and that disconnection has to be purposeful, right? For you to be avoiding all this news. And so for me, I think the last time that I voted for Bernie in the primaries both times, but I didn't vote for Hillary and I didn't vote for Biden, right? And that's not something that I have ever regretted. And that those are actually things that align with my politics. Even when I voted for Bernie both times during the primary, it was with the absolute knowledge that I wasn't picking a savior, rather that I was picking an opponent that I knew I can be, right? That I knew that, and what I mean by that is that, like, I felt like Bernie Sanders was like a politician that we as a, you know, progressive community could like pressure to actually do shit, right? Because at the end of the day, none of these politicians, not Bernie Sanders, not AOC, not Ilhan Omar, like none of these politicians, as likable as they are, as radical as they may seem, are ever truly on the side of the people, right? They are merely folks who have, who hold power, but who must be pushed to use it for the betterment of our society, right? And so honestly, engaging this podcast has helped me vocalize shit like that, right? Like, what I just expressed was not something that I could have vocalized in 2016, 2017. I was just had a lot of like anger without direction. And so I think that this podcast has helped me direct my anger in ways that I think have been productive for me and maybe educational for others.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you said. Yeah, I agree. And also for myself, I think, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard having a podcast or like a platform, because I feel like sometimes like I re-listen to it and I'm like, what are people going to think when they hear this? Or like, I said something again, like maybe I said something at the beginning of this podcast that I do not agree with me now, and it's there and it exists in the world that I said this, you know what I mean? And I think a lot, like we've talked about this, like I feel a lot of us are scared to say things or question things or, and I'm not necessarily going into this whole like, oh, like cancel culture shit, which is like a whole thing on its own, but just like in general, I think a lot of us, you know, even, or like you said, like being kind to yourself, like I feel like I focus on things and I'm like, some people don't, like no one cares, because people understand that you grow and like they probably thought that too and now they don't. And being able in this podcast to have conversations with you, because sometimes me and you, I don't want to say that we don't necessarily disagree, but there's some, like I feel like we see things differently and it's not right or wrong, it's just different, right? Or we think different things, and I think for the majority we have like the same views, but they're not 100% the same, and you bring something different and I bring something different, because we don't come from the same experiences, right? Or the same identities, the same, even like where we live alone, like everything, you know? So it's like, yeah, we agree and we're similar, and that's why we have this podcast, because of our connection. But at the same time, like sometimes like we'll literally be having like we'll be recording and you'll say something and I'm like, oh, in my head, like I didn't never thought of that, you know? So I even within here, like I still learn from you and I still like have that dialogue with you alone, you know? So yeah, so like I definitely feel that, and I you know, I don't know, going back to that, yeah, I definitely am always like, oh, like it, I don't know, when you have a podcast, it's like this exists forever. People can I don't know, judge me for it, use me for it, but I also feel like people feel that way all the time with or without a podcast. And so being able to like have this space, and you know, a lot of our followers are like the same, you know, like, oh, I used to think that way too, or like now I see things different. So it's definitely not just like me and you are on here having our own conversations, like we're having these conversations together, but then people are listening to it, and we still, even when we do talks, you know, we haven't done one in a long time because of pandemic, and we do some online, which are a little different, but even within those spaces or when we have meetups, like we continue those conversations in person. And I think that you know, that's like a part of like growing with people and like having those conversations. So yeah, this podcast has definitely helped me as well in like also being kind to myself in that way, that it's okay if my politics change, as long as I'm not, you know, hurting someone or doing something shitty and abusive. And if I did, obviously, like sometimes, or even if we're not being abusive, our comments and our thoughts and our views hurt people, and like they don't fuck with you, and that's fine. You like acknowledge that. And I mean, not like, oh, it's fine, like but you know what I mean, like it happens, like you make changes and you go on, and like we can't really be stuck in this one place, you know what I mean. So like, I don't know, it's definitely like I struggle with vulnerability, and like that's one thing on the podcast, I think, like when we especially talk about motherhood or our moms or like children, and then I'm like, oh, I said, like, I feel like I did too much, or I said too much, or I cried or whatever. And I feel that way sometimes about the episodes that we release. And then I'm like, it's fine. Like people, not that I'm like, people want me to hear this. And so like, I know, like, if I don't want it out there, it's not going to be out there. But I think it in my head, like people are going to judge me or people are going to do this, when it's just like, it has helped me be more vulnerable, and that it's okay to be vulnerable. Especially, you know, because all these people are hearing it. But yeah, so like a lot of things for sure. Also, I think what you said about being able to direct anger, I think that's definitely important. I also feel like at the beginning, up until maybe like even a year or two ago, I think a lot of my anger was directed at the liberals more than conservatives. And that's always been my thing, I think, because I'm like, I know Republicans are shitty. I know conservatives are shitty. Like, I don't need to spend my time talking shit about them, because they are. And I want to redirect this conversation to liberals or Democrats who are complicit in this. And I still think they are, but I think have been thinking, like, I don't want my politics or my whole personality to be hating liberals, because what does that do in the end? As much as like they piss me off and I want to take my anger out on them, and a lot of that is like valid anger, I'm just like, what does that do? Like, I think there's a difference between calling the shit out and being like, this is what liberals do, and this is what you're doing, and this is how you're complicit, versus just kind of like, that's all I'm talking about. Just instead of any like actual concrete things on how do we like get people to like come on our side, if that makes sense. Like, how do we get them away from liberalism? Which is, again, it's like a half and half, because like you said, if you're still on this shit, it's because you choose to be. You can't really ignore what's been happening within the last decade, especially within the last 5 years. So like people that are holding on to like electoral politics especially without doing literally anything else, it does feel like a very privileged thing as well. Cause maybe they're not, especially white people, like they're not affected. Right. Like, I think when we look at the abortion, Roe versus Wade that just got banned, like what's the word?
Returned.
Like a lot of people are obviously upset, rightfully so. But a lot of those people have not said shit in the like years. Like, I hate this whole thing, you know. We're recording right now, tomorrow's the 4th of July, and I keep seeing a bunch of tweets that are like, we need to cancel the 4th of July this year. And I'm like, oh, y'all were celebrating like last year and like the year before, like, you know. And it's this whole thing where it's like, I get it, obviously I'm everyone should be outraged about it, but it's just like a lot of people who have not said shit about the state violence against Black people, about like immigration, about anything, and then this is like the thing that they choose to be outraged specifically, and then now when it affects you, or when you think it affects you, right? That's the only time that you're angry, and that bothers me. And I don't know where I even started that thought. I apologize, but yeah. I was saying, yeah, like if you're not like, if only one thing outrages you, or like, then I just feel like you just do not care. But there are people who don't know what else to do outside of electoral politics. And that might be because they're not literally connected to community, because they're following nothing but like Democratic liberal pages, whatever that might be. So I would definitely, I think I check myself in that sense, like, especially if I'm posting on AnFem, like, yeah, I make memes and I talk shit about liberals or whatever, but I'm also like, how do I, that's not all I want to be doing. I also just want to be like putting shit out there to make people think about that. And if whether you want to engage with that or like turn away, then that's on you, you know? But like, that's the same thing as electoral politics that I'm saying. I'm not going to start talking shit about people who vote and telling you not to vote, because that does not do anything. That's just a waste of energy. I'd rather just like talk about how else can you show up outside of electoral politics instead. So
Well, see, I just learned something today that I should stop doing that shit. But I got really pissed around because I was like, just, I was putting a lot of like info on like what to do after Roe v. Mm-hmm. Wade got overturned, but I was also kind of shitting on people who were all about voting all the time.
I mean, it was just
so fucking annoying.
It is. First, it's like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not apologizing for the liberal jokes. I'm not like saying like, let's take it easy, you know, like, or whatever. Like, I definitely still. I stand where I stand, but like I also want to talk about like other things and not just, like I said, be like, this is all we're talking about on the podcast. Yeah. And how shitty y'all are, because you are shitty. You are shitty. But also, like, you know, how do we just keep growing? Like, I think also I was gonna say, like, for me, I think when we first started the podcast, I don't think I would identify as a liberal or Democrat or anything really. When people would ask me, like, are you a communist or socialist or this or that, and like, you, they want, or leftist or whatever, and I guess I would use the word leftist more, but I think definitely I feel like I've come into anarchy for sure. Like, I was kind of there was a time where I was like, communism, socialism, anarchy, and also like, they're kind of all the same, or like, what's the difference, or like, does it even matter, like, because we're kind of all, you know, at least on this, like, quote, that's what I mean, like, quote unquote leftists versus like, we're not liberals, we're not. But now I definitely feel like my personal views and beliefs are definitely aligned more with anarchy, and so I feel like that's like also a result of the last 5 years, but also like just within myself and definitely this podcast and like what, you know. Yeah.
Damn, this podcast is making people into anarchists. Watch out.
Yeah. I'm sorry I interrupted you. And again, like, we both have ADHD. So just, like, when I'm like, damn, like, that lady that diagnosed me, she was right.
Like, I mean, this
podcast is good. Because sometimes I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about?
This podcast is also like a case study in two bitches who have ADHD and breathing problems. So get with it. Which bitter brown, like, nasally, mentally ill bitches.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I was saying. I don't even know why I started talking about the anarchist thing. But
something that you learned in this
life. Yeah, but honestly, before that, you were literally talking about.
Oh, how basically how I just learned a new perspective right now. And it's some
about the liberals thing.
Yeah, okay. About like bullying liberals.
No, I'm not anti-bullying liberals.
Everyone's like, okay. She wants to make something very clear. She's not anti-bullying. Bullying is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first.
Yes. Yes.
I like how you're like not rebuking that. You're like, yeah, bullying is okay.
Well, I was going to say, sorry. Okay, I think that's where I started with that anarchist thing. That I was going to say, instead, like, I am okay with bullying liberals. I think it's okay to, like, you know, poke fun at them and, like, call them out, especially, again, when it's, like, this shit is right in your face. Like, I'm telling you, you know, and they're like, choosing to ignore shit.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, instead of, like, focusing all my energy on talking shit about liberals and just constantly on that, I would rather connect with like other anarchists, is what I was trying to say. Yeah. Or kind of like show people the anarchist way, you know, and or like build on that, versus just constantly like, if like, again, like, if I'm just like, there's nothing else, all I'm talking about is how fucking stupid liberals are, you know.
Yeah,
which again is valid. It's valid. I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm just saying.
It's valid, but it can also be like a dead end sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. I think that that is also something that I want to take with this podcast moving forward is like, this shit
sometimes
is
going. Sometimes I forget liberals exist. Because like online, like again, yes, I talk about liberals and I'm like, I already know what they're saying. Or like sometimes I'll see some tweets. Yeah, I'll see some liberal tweets. But then like, I'm like, because like online or like the people that I talk to are not liberal, so I'm like everyone's pretty much like a leftist, like not, there's not that many liberals left. And then I like there was like a protest here when like for abortion like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, and it was and then I'm like, oh never mind, they're still here, you know, here with like the worst takes on the world in the world. They're still out here, like trying to get people to vote at a fucking abortion protest. Trump. You know, okay. Anyway, sorry. Go on again.
I don't forget the liberals exist because I live in Liberal Haven in Portland.
Oh my God, yes. Even on there, those, okay, hold on. Let me tell y'all, when I went to Portland, I was on fucking Tinder, okay? I was on fucking Tinder and I wanted to kill myself because going from El Paso Tinder to like Portland Tinder was so funny. Because then in El Paso, there's like the only white people that come up are like military, and you obviously know they're military because you're like, why the fuck are you here? Or they'll proudly say they're military, whatever. In Portland, it's like obviously white, and all of them, like 93% of them, y'all, are poly, okay? That's like their thing. That's Portland's thing, apparently. And all of them have hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag feminism, hashtag activism in their fucking Tinder profiles, to the point that I was like, I hate all of you. Like, please. Like, this is enough. Please stop. Like, it was weird. It was weird. Like, it just felt like I was on, like, when you're online, but like in a city, like in person. Like, I don't know. I kind of hated it, but I don't know. Oh, girl. That was a lot. That was a lot.
I can have a whole conversation about how, like, how do I say this? The white liberal of Portland and, like, the dating scene, how those things, like, interact is very interesting because a lot of white liberals here will, like, have all these things in their bios, but they will, like, not date people of color. But they mm-hmm. will, but they will fuck them. So it's mm-hmm. like, it's like this thing about like who they see as like desirable, but not desirable in a romantic way, and that like what that says.
It's like a fetish, kind of.
Yeah, and yeah. What that says about their politics. Because
yeah, like, rather. And that's what I mean. That it feels obviously like I'm like all you bitches are performative, and I'd rather at this point just date someone who's apolitical, fuck someone who's apolitical. Anyway. TMI. But yeah, no, for sure. But I will say that if you're on Tinder in Portland and you swipe left on like a 50 of them, one hot person of color will come up every like 50 ugly white people in Portland. Yeah. You just kind of have to you have to filter them out. You got to filter them. Yeah. No, for sure. That's all. Anyway, sorry. That was what I wanted to comment on Portland. I knew going there. I was like, it's gonna be like the liberal, maybe like an anarchist white person, and then some right wing person. Like those will be my options in Portland. I feel here it's so terrible too. It's like military. From both sides of the border, it's like military, like what army military, and then like la Guardia Nacional, and like at the same time, and then someone looking for a fucking unicorn, and then that's it. It's like military from Juarez, cop, border patrol. I need a unicorn to fuck my boyfriend. Military. Like that's literally fucking it. Like I want to kill myself. It's like the worst.
Oh my God. Yeah. Everybody in Portland is polyamorous and open. Everybody's partnered somehow. All of them.
I literally had to update my files. Like, don't even fucking no poly shit. And I'm sorry if our listeners are poly. I love y'all. That's your shit. But for me, no thanks. y'all, most of y'all seem messy as fuck. Oh. I just do not want to be a part of it. No, thank you.
I like also like don't. Yeah, no, I've already tried being polyamorous. It was cute. It was whatever. It's just not my scene.
No, we're going to get canceled.
Why?
Because they're really like, they're anti-polyamorous.
No, just because it's not for me, like, doesn't mean that it's bad. like, it is what it is. It's also like, it's never like some super hot bitch who's like, yeah, we're all or you know what,
yeah, it's never like hot, like
it is one super, usually like super hot girl, and then like everybody else like kind of like, what's that word, like rotating around them, like they're like the planet Earth or the planet Jupiter, and every one of their ugly
they're partners. The sun,
yeah,
all right, yeah,
yeah, that's usually what it is, like.
No. Yeah, it's like I
okay,
I,
now we're gonna get canceled.
I'd rather have one ugly partner than five. I'm sorry.
Like, oh my god, I would rather have no ugly partners.
Yo, it's hard out here. You gotta have one.
I mean, if you're gonna be into that life, but I mean, when I was polyamorous, I kind of like was only polyamorous in name, and like I guess practice. I would hook up a lot, but I wouldn't like date.
Hmm.
Yeah
I just feel like, I don't know, like
it's also a lot.
What happened to being a slut? Like, I'm not a poly, I'm just a slut. Like, why can't I just do that? Why can't I just fuck everybody without saying I'm
polyamorous? A part of me feels that people forgot that just being a slut is like totally acceptable,
like, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, I get, okay, let me stop my thoughts, because I don't want the poly community to come after me.
The correct term is polyam, because poly refers to Polynesian.
Isn't it E and M? I learned all these abbreviations.
When there's like ethiconomic. Yeah.
I felt so old. I was like Googling what all these terms, that's when I was in Portland, and I was like, I can't.
Yeah, I also was like, what the fuck is E&M? And I was like, you're not out here showing me your whole booty hole being ethical. There's no way that meat was ethically produced.
Oh my god, stop. all right, we're done.
Okay.
Moving on.
Well, okay, so where do we see the next season of our podcast taking us? How do we think it's going to be different from the first?
So one of the changes we will be making is definitely, which we've, well I guess this, it's okay on this episode. I was going to say we failed already, making our episodes shorter.
Yeah.
For our attention span. Cause like, we just had a whole conversation that like irrelevant, but also like sometimes we just fucking, we'll just keep going. And I think some of our listeners appreciate that, because y'all are probably ADHD or too. You know, like something to listen to, but also a lot of you bitches are ADHD like us, so the attention span is not there. So we definitely want to just focus more on like, this is what we're talking about, let's stick to it. And if we feel like it'll be like easier for people you know, to follow and to be more engaged with than having to sit through like an hour and a half every fucking time.
Yeah.
But with that, of course, we're striving to also put out more content at the same time, because it is going to be more shorter and more to the point. So easier also to edit, easier to record, et cetera, whether, you know, instead of like we go months without seeing each other and then we have so much to talk about. And that's why our episodes end up so long and filled with so much information. And regardless if it's good information, it's still a lot. And, you know, it's like we cover so many topics within one episode that it could get, you know, it does get a little maybe messy, a little confusing, a little like I can't, you know, whatever. So we're hoping with that, we'll see how that change goes. Again, we appreciate all your feedback on everything that we do, whether you like it, whether you enjoyed it, whether, you know, suggestions, I guess. Not suggestions about finding a new co-host, okay? Actual, because we've both gotten those messages.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like, I'm just like, okay. Like, people that reach out to Ruben, like, if you ever need a new co-host, I'm like, I'm right here. Like, I can see this tweet.
They've also reached out to you, bitch. So it goes
they have. They're like, this is why I think Ruben shouldn't be a part of it. I'm like, sir, I don't even know you. But anyway, actual comments and feedback. Another thing, yeah, I think we just want to be a little bit more intentional in what we're talking about and sticking to that, and yeah, providing like better dialogue on that. That's not to say, like, I mean, sometimes we're like, I think y'all know us by this point. We don't want to be like serious all the time, right? Like, we're both not that, like, you know, well, let's have this political conversation. And no, like, we also, like, who cares if we're talking about fucking people showing their ass, you know? Like, who cares? yeah. I don't know. What about you?
I think that everything you said is aligned with where I want to go as well. Yeah, something shorter, to the point, more frequent, because all those things make it easier for me to put out the stuff. I do. Yeah, those, I mean, you hit all the points that I
have. More guests, which again is a little hard again, because it's not like we are me and Ruben are not together. If we were together, maybe that would be a little easier, because we are already together. Yeah, but it's like, it's me and Ruben having to like line up schedules, and then someone else, and then figuring, because then that person is like wherever they are, wherever they happen to be, you know. So it is hard, but we want to try to find a way to, how do we, you know, how do we make that happen more? Because we obviously don't want to have guests all the time, but we would definitely love more.
Yeah, like one every 3 months.
Yeah.
I want to have more energy for it too, and I think we're both underemployed right now. So like, wow, we'll have more energy for that.
Well, I will be self-employed soon.
Okay? Work? Oh yeah, bitch, you have a real career.
I have, I'm a boss career. Bitch now. If anyone ever needs a massage, let me know.
You're an educated Latina now. Fuck.
I'm a healer. Okay.
You are.
Heal people.
Oh my God. Oh, you know, I'm so proud of you, friend. yeah. Well, one of us is always employed at any given time, I guess.
Kind of. I have like no clients and shit.
Well, you're very personable. I'm pretty sure that you are skilled. And yeah, I mean, that's what it takes. Usually I go with people who, not for massage, but like for a haircut, I go with people who make me feel comfortable and who, you know, do a good job, or sometimes not even that much of a good job. I used to go to this lady in the Supercuts in like Davis, and I just used to go to her because she was nice, and I hate going to barber shops. So like,
yeah,
I just suck it up. So I'm sure you'll have no problems, friend.
Thanks.
Any last thoughts before we finish this episode, which is supposed to be short, that is now running an hour long?
I know, and I keep looking at it like, we need to shut up. This is a problem. No, I think like we just wanted to record like a final episode for it to be like, this is it. Not the end of Bitter Brown Femmes for now. But damn, just
for now.
We're all doing this when we're 50.
I mean, who knows? There's like news reporters have had their jobs since for decades.
That is true.
And
that
what are true. We if not just very funny news reporters?
That is true. Very you true.
Know, for the future, I
Luca's think all like 20 years old. I'm like, sorry, sweetie, you gotta record.
Running for governor.
Get out.
He's like, after he interned for Beto O'Rourke.
I hate when you say that stuff.
It happened. You know, Pete Buttigieg and Kamala Harris' parents were like hardcore Marxists?
I know. Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah, so that shit happens all the fucking time. I forget if it was Pete Buttigieg or like Harris's dad who like disowned them publicly, essentially. Because of
I know like elders in our community whose like children feel the exact same way. Like, yeah. I see it
first. So, honestly, that's why I'm just fostering. I'm not, yeah, so that like
I can't wait to foster too, so we can I can corrupt the youth,
yeah,
through the foster system, you know, and also nurture them, but you know.
Give them a home, but also give them a political education.
Yes, exactly.
And not long enough for them to resent us, right?
Exactly. That's the plan.
But I am very happy that I have, you know, been in this creative partnership with you for the last 5 years. It is my longest relationship.
You're almost my long. Well, in a, I'm on my relationship with my hairstylist has been since like I've been 16. He's been cutting my hair since.
I thought you dumped them when they went to jail because you're fake.
Hey, he came back, and I only one other person cut my hair one time. Okay. So
fake abolitionist.
I've had the same hairstylist for 17 years. Thank you very much. For those who say Sagittarius don't commit, okay, sweetie, what do you have to say about that?
17 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. He's every time like my life is going through something, he cuts my hair accordingly. Damn. He's like, damn, you just like ended a relationship. Let me get the dye out. Let me get the bangs. Okay. Anyway, no, yes, I feel the same way. I even though like we always talk about how like we literally have only seen each other. I feel like we've seen each other more or I don't know, maybe it just feels that way because I saw you recently, but before that I hadn't even seen you since fucking 2020. Like in person, it's wild. Like I still feel, you know, it's like that friend where it's like you have those friends where like you can go a long amount of time without seeing them and then you see them and it's not like this weird thing. That's how I feel our relationship is. Yeah, and I'm excited to share another chapter with you and
yeah,
see how it goes.
Yes, you know, mark our words, the next time there's a 5-year mark, we're going to be on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I see that. We're very personable, we're very beautiful.
True.
We're getting our own TV show.
True. Very true.
All right, friend.
And then with that, of course, we want to thank all of you, especially our Patreons, but for financially supporting the podcast with whatever you can, and even those who can't, because we know like shit is rough out here. But like you still support us by listening, by sharing our shit. Whatever, for engaging with us, for coming out to our talks, etc. Like we truly, truly appreciate you all, and we hope that you stick around or not. I mean, that's they're like, I'm done.
Like, oh, finally made it through season one.
For sure. Yeah. And just like I appreciate you all. I love meeting y'all. I love connecting with y'all. And growing with y'all too, because I feel like it's kind of this thing that maybe we don't notice because we're all just having this conversations together, and maybe y'all can look back on if you've grown within the last 5 years. And I'm not saying like, oh, thanks to us or whatever, but just again, like so much has happened within the last 5 years alone. So I hope that you have grown or like have discovered yourself or have like your politics have changed or have connected with community, et cetera. Pretty much it.
I think that's one of the most rewarding things of having done this podcast for so long is like meeting people who are like, you know, you changed my perspective on this, or I remember, or like folks who are like in the middle of nowhere because of college or because that's where they grew up, and them being like, you know, listening to y'all helped me feel like I had a community, right? Mm-hmm. Or there was this one Latinx, Chicanx person who was like found themselves in Europe and they were like doing sex work and had like nobody there to be like, they had no community. And I remember at an event, they came up to me and they were like, you know, thank you for this podcast, you helped me through that phase, you know, you helped me feel like empowered and like if I was doing the right thing in a time where I wasn't sure, right, or I didn't have a family. So shit like that always makes me feel like this is why we're doing this, right? Like this is why we have put up with everything that we have in these last years and why I want to continue to create this. So listeners, yeah. Thank you all for being with us. Thank you all for always not only sharing our podcast with your friends and family and your communities, your webs, but also for like sharing your stories, for commenting and for
like making us feel like we're not just, you know, putting this out into the void, right? Mm. Like I always feel like I'm recording this, I'm putting this out there, and somebody's really listening to this and taking this to heart. And I don't take that, like, that fact lightly. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, I agree. So thank you all again. We will see you season two, baby.
Yay.
Yay. And yeah, right. That's goodbye. It. Bye. Bye, y'all.
Before we go, I want to give a shout out to all of our I Know Her Level patrons. That includes Fernando P, Miriam, Tate, Anna H, Kathleen, Marisol, Ames T, Amy, Lizbeth K, Yulitza, Chrissy J, Gianna R.O., Miguel B, Yasmin T, Erika A, Alejandro M, Magdalena S, Ronnie L, Bianca G, and Abigail Era and Araña. Again, thank you so much for your support. And if you want to be part of this dope group of people, you can check out all of our rewards over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link is in the description.